Looking at them before, some of those smoking chapters, really. This is Paul at the end of his life, and he really seems to be about to die. He's in prison, and he's been forsaken by all his friends, and he's looking forward to the hope of the kingdom. And he's writing to his younger friend, Timothy. So he says, "I charge you, in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So his mind is very much set on the return of Jesus, and that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. The living are those who are alive when he comes, and the dead are the dead who will be resurrected, those who are responsible to judgment. So the judgment is going to be not when we die, but when Jesus comes back. When we die, we're unconscious in the grave. But when Jesus comes back, then there is the resurrection and the judgment. And you only receive eternal life when Jesus returns. We don't have any immortal soul that goes on automatically living, either in heaven or hell or whatever, after we die. That's a pagan idea that's not in the Bible. So he says, because this is going to happen, because we are going to appear at the day of judgment, preach the word. We're going to be asked what we've done with the talents that we've been given. Have we shared it with others? Preach the word, be ready to preach, whether it's a good time, a convenient time or not. Reprove, rebuke, encourage with all patience, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound teaching, but rather they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So people will get people to come and teach them who tell them what they would like to hear, rather than accepting God's truth from the Bible. And that is what we're seeing today. They will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to myths, to conspiracy theories, to just any old idea that somebody's pushing around on the internet or whatever. But you... Now, he often says this to Timothy, this is happening in the world, but you, Timothy. And that little phrase, but you, is quite common in his letters to Timothy. And this is so true for us. This is how things are going to be in the world and how they are. But you, be different. That's the point. But you, be careful in all things. Suffer hardship. Do the work of a preacher. Fulfill your service, your ministry. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 that there are good works that God prepared for us to do from the foundation of the world. And so he's saying, do what you're called to do. And I think man is never better than when we are doing that which we have been intended to do, that which we were called to do. For I am ready to be offered. So he knows that he's about to be to die, and he feels that he's a sacrifice being offered to God, but that's his whole life. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So therefore, there is set up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them who love his appearing. So if you really love Jesus, and if he is the one whom you love and want to be with, then you will be saved. And so you have to ask yourself, do I love Jesus? Do I really love him? Do I love his coming? You can only, I suppose, love his coming and meeting him at the day of judgment if you're confident that he's coming to save you. If you just think, oh, judgment day, I don't know. Well, we do know, because we know that he loves us. And this is where faith, as I've often said, means trust. If you trust in God and trust in Jesus, you can be certain by his grace that you will be saved. And so we can love his appearing. Do your best to come quickly to me, because Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has cleared off to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. That's what's called Croatia today. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. Now, Paul had fallen out with Mark. Paul had a big argument with Mark. He didn't think that Mark was a solid brother, and Mark had left Paul on one of the missionary journeys and gone home, gone back to his mum. And Paul was really upset about that, and he had a big argument with Barnabas over it. And they departed from each other. But now, at the very end of his life, Paul realizes that all such arguments were foolish, and if somebody is a brother, they're a brother. And I think it's significant then that he says, bring Mark with you. It's like he really wanted to reconcile with Mark before he dies. And I think you see there the need to live all your life reconciled to your brothers and sisters. Because when you come to your last days, your conscience is going to beep, beep, that you're not reconciled to people. And of course, there's a lot of people you can never reconcile with because they hate you or they're just nasty and wicked. So, okay, you can't reconcile with people who hate you, people who won't talk to you or whatever. But as much as it lies in us, we should really be trying to be reconciled with all those we might have fallen out with. But Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. So he's lamenting how all his close friends have left him. And yet Tychicus, who he says elsewhere is a faithful brother, he is sent to Ephesus when he desperately wanted just somebody to be with him. Like dying people desperately want somebody holding their hand. But he valued the work at Ephesus to such an extent that he sends Tychicus away from him because the need at Ephesus was greater. The cloak, that's like a big jacket that they had, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, please bring that with me when you come, and the books, but especially the scrolls. So he's cold in the prison. That's how I imagine it. Now, first of all, he starts living in his own hired house in the prison. Although he's chained to a soldier, he can invite people to come and visit him. But now he's cold. He hasn't even got a jacket. But there was a church in Rome. And when he first came to Rome, they not only came to see him, they came out from Rome and went to meet him. But clearly they have pulled away from him. Clearly they can't even bring a man in prison, a great brother in prison like Paul, they can't even bring him a jacket to keep him warm. And he wants the books or the scrolls, and especially the scrolls, because I guess he wants to keep on writing right up to the end of his life. And he'd run out of parchment to write on, of scroll to write on. And nobody from the church in Rome would bring him anything. How sad. For a great brother like Paul to die, rejected by all his brothers. But that is what often happens to very faithful believers, that they die rejected by their so-called brothers. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord will repay him according to his works. And that is true. Of whom you should be careful also, because he's greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So when he first came up on trial for his life and he was being falsely accused of this, that and the other, nobody stood with him. None of the Christians in Rome came along and stood up and said, no, he's a good man. That is the tragic, that's the hardest death, I think, to die forsaken by your brothers, forsaken by those you treated as your spiritual family, forsaken by those who you really thought were your friends. And it's a very hard death. And you really feel for Paul, and he will therefore be great in the kingdom. And those who did him, as he says, much evil will be judged because of that. But he prays for the people in Rome that God wouldn't lay that to their charge. In other words, at the day of judgment, that God won't raise that with them. That's very, very generous of him, and we should learn that same generosity of spirit. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. So when you feel that you're forsaken by your friends and your brothers and your family, well, it's then that you are to feel the personal presence of Jesus, and he will give that to you. So that through me, he says, the preaching of the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So there he was, on trial for his life. The Christians had forsaken him, the church didn't want to know him. But with the strength of Jesus, he was able to testify to the gospel at the very, very highest level of Roman society throughout the empire. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Exactly what that means isn't clear, but they used to throw the Christians to the lions. And what they had to do, the idea was that all the people came to the theatre and the lions were let loose on this Christian, and the Christian had to fight the lion. If he killed the lion, well, he survived to fight another day. And then eventually, of course, the lion did kill him. And he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, maybe that means that he had been given a sentence to be thrown to the lions, but then it was changed. Or maybe it means that he was thrown to the lions in front of a big audience, but God gave him victory over the lion. And he says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Remember, they were his old faithful friends, and the family of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletus sick. Do your very best to come before winter. Well, he says that because he knew how dangerous it was to travel in the winter months, because that's how the shipwreck arose, because they tried to travel in the winter. So little things like that just show how the Bible is true and has the ring of truth about it. Little things confirm the record. Eubulus greets you, and Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So his last thoughts really are about grace, and it is all of grace in the very end. And that's the maturity that we should really come to right now.